The scripture reading is Matthew 24, verses 1 through 14. In Edgerton now, I am doing a series in Matthew 24, and we last sermon we had was verse 14, so I bring you that word tonight. Matthew 24 is a passage in which Jesus is speaking to his disciples near the end of his earthly life, the last week of his earthly life, and he speaks to them about the signs of his coming, his second coming. Matthew 24, beginning at verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations. And then shall the end come. And so far do we read God's holy word. The text is verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Matthew chapter 24 speaks of many tumultuous events. Jesus says here that in the New Testament age, many deceivers will come in his name and shall deceive many. He says that there will be pestilences and earthquakes and famines. There will be economic unrest. There will be chaos in the economy and socially and in governments. There will be persecution, abounding lawlessness, and great apostasy in the church. Many tumultuous events Jesus speaks of here. But through all of this, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all nations, serving to the gathering of the elect. Verse 14 says, And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. What that shows is the gospel is unstoppable. Satan will breathe forth fire. There will be he will bring much persecution, great apostasy in the broader church world, abounding lawlessness in the world and in the broader church world as well. But the gospel will continue to go forth to all nations, serving to bring God's elect to believe in him for all of their salvation and to serve him. the progress of the gospel, nothing will stand in its way. It shows that God is certainly in control, and we really have nothing to fear. It's an amazing thing. The gospel will go forth. And this going forth of the gospel to all nations, it's the sign of Christ's second coming. There are many signs listed in Matthew 24. But this sign is the sign. Why? Because it is only when the gospel has gone forth to all nations that the end comes. The end will not come before then. When you hear the gospel preached today, you hear the footsteps of Jesus Christ. With every sermon that you hear, the gospel or the footsteps of Jesus Christ get louder and louder. It shows he's coming. Let's consider the text under the theme, the sign of gospel preaching in all the world. The sign of gospel preaching in all the world. First, its meaning. Second, its purpose. And third, its relation to the end. The sign of gospel preaching in all the world. First, its meaning. Jesus speaks here in verse 14 of the gospel of the kingdom. We need to understand what that is. The meaning is kingdom. God's kingdom is the spiritual realm which God in Christ rules by his word and spirit. The main thing about God's kingdom is his rule. In the past, the rule of a king shaped the kingdom so much that the rule was really the main thing. You can think maybe of Nazi Germany under Hitler. Maybe even a better example would be King David and Israel in the Old Testament. Their rule shaped the kingdom. Well, that's certainly true of the kingdom of God. His rule is central. The kingdom is called the kingdom of God because he's the source of it. He is the one who brings the citizens into the kingdom. He is the one who makes the laws. He is the one who provides the benefits. His rule is central. God's rule is central in the kingdom, and he rules in Christ. Christ rules. He has been given the rule as the one who went to the cross to pay for all of the sins of his people. He established the kingdom by his death at the cross. You see, without Christ's death, there would be no citizens in the kingdom. All would have to remain in the kingdom of Satan. All would be guilty sinners. No one could be in the holy kingdom of God. But because of Christ's death, God's people have the right to be in that kingdom, the righteous kingdom of God, and to live with him, the holy God. So because of Christ's work in establishing the kingdom through his death, he has been given the power, authority, the rule, and the kingdom of God. And he rules by his word and spirit. So Christ rules. Christ rules, and his rule forms a spiritual realm. His rule does not form a physical realm. He says in John 18, verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world." His kingdom forms a spiritual realm. Christ's rule forms a spiritual realm that has citizens, laws, and benefits. His kingdom has citizens. The citizens are those whom he has come to rule in by his spirit. That's regeneration. The citizens are ruled by his spirit and by his word. He rules his people on earth by his spirit and word so that we already now experience life in this kingdom as citizens. We believe in Jesus Christ for all of our salvation. We seek to obey the king by his power. So Christ's rule forms a realm in which there are citizens and also a realm in which there are laws. The laws are God's laws as we find them in the word. Christ's rule forms a realm in which there are citizens, laws, and benefits. And these benefits are spiritual benefits that Jesus Christ earned on the cross by paying for all the sins of his people. He, for instance, by his death, he earned the right for us to be given the gift of faith so that we believe in him. And he's earned for us the gift of forgiveness. We know that forgiveness. The citizens, too, are strengthened by Jesus Christ through the word. That's a gift. They're strengthened by him to serve him and live according to his commands, to his glory. Also, in regard to this kingdom, understand that Christ is bringing the full perfection of the kingdom, bringing it soon. The enemy within us and the enemy without will be destroyed. We and all the citizens of the kingdom will live in the new heavens and new earth, perfectly praising God forever. No sin, no sorrow, no pain. Christ will rule us so entirely that in all of what we do, our singing, our jobs there, we will only perfectly obey the King. That's coming. So Jesus speaks of the kingdom in verse 14 and speaks specifically of the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom he talks about. Gospel there in the text means good news. The gospel of the kingdom is the good news about the kingdom. What is that good news about the kingdom? The good news about the kingdom is the truth that Jesus Christ has established the kingdom of God by his work at the cross. He's established the kingdom and he brings God's elect into that kingdom by regenerating them, by implanting spiritual life in them. He comes to rule in them. And the regenerated child of God consciously enters into that kingdom when he repents and believes in Jesus Christ for all of his salvation. He experiences all the benefits of the kingdom, including forgiveness. When Christ returns, and this is the good news about the kingdom too, when Christ returns, the believer will be brought to the new heavens and new earth to live with God there forever in perfection, perfectly obeying and serving the King. That's the good news about the kingdom. Now in the text, Jesus says that the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Shall be preached in all the world. It will be preached. And that word preach in the text means to speak as a herald or proclaim as a herald. In the past, kings had heralds that went out and spoke the message of the king. The herald would go to a public place. He would have his scroll from the king. He would open that scroll and he would say, "Thus saith the king," and he would read it to the people. That's what the word preach is in this text, to proclaim as a herald. And what it shows us is that the preacher is a herald of Christ the King. He stands in public places and says, "Thus saith the King, King Jesus." This is his word. And this implies a few things about preaching that are important. First, this truth that a preacher is a herald of King Jesus shows to us that preachers are those who are sent by King Jesus through the church. They are sent, preachers are sent by King Jesus through the church. Romans 10, verse 15 says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" The idea of that passage is that Jesus Christ is the one who sends or calls the minister to preach in a church through that church. That's a legitimate preacher, one who has been sent or called through the church by Jesus Christ. Remember, Christ is the head of the church. He controls all things that happen in the church. So he controls things that happen in a church so that they call a certain minister to preach to them, or they send out a certain minister to the mission field to preach. That's a legitimate preacher, one who's sent by King Jesus through the church. Second, The truth that a preacher is a herald of King Jesus means that he must be received because of his office. To despise the preacher is to despise the king who sent him. Third, this truth that a preacher is a herald of King Jesus shows that the preacher must bring the message of the king and that message only. He must not water down the message. He must bring the message of the king. He must declare the wonderful truth that Jesus Christ has established the kingdom by his work at the cross. And he must call sin what it is. He must say that sin is something that we have all done and that we need this Savior, King Jesus, to save us from our sins. And that we are to repent and believe in him alone. He's the only hope. He must not water down that message, but bring that truth week after week. In the text, Jesus says that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, shall be proclaimed in all the world. And the world there in verse 14 means inhabited earth. It refers to all nations, tribes, and tongues. It refers to people of every kind. And if the gospel of the kingdom would be preached in all the world, this what Jesus said here in this prophecy, what he said was going to happen, it would be very different than what was happening in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the gospel was preached to the Jews, for the most part, to the Jews only. For the most part, other nations in the Old Testament were left in darkness. The Gentiles were left in darkness. But the Old Testament did say that things would change in the New Testament, that the gospel would go forth to all nations. We sang of that when we sang Psalter number 176. There are many passages that speak of that. Malachi 1 verse 11 is another one. It says, "For from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts." Now in Matthew 24, Jesus says the gospel will be preached in all the world. And that was quite a prophecy to make, especially when you look at it in light of the verses that come before it in Matthew 24. Think of what Jesus had just said before verse 14. He said that the little church that was preaching this gospel would be persecuted. He said that they would be opposed by false prophets, hated by all nations, and that preacher, he said that the church would be imprisoned and hurt. But the gospel shall be preached in all the world, he says in verse 14. There will be famines, there will be earthquakes, there will be pestilences, economic chaos, social unrest, but the gospel shall be preached in all nations. He says in the verses before that the church will, the love of many, he says, will wax cold. There will be great departure from the truth. The church will seem to shrink, but the gospel shall be preached in all the world. To be clear, Jesus is not saying that every person head for head will hear the preaching of the gospel in the New Testament age. That hasn't happened, and that won't happen. Many have already died without hearing the preaching of the gospel. When Jesus says that the preaching of the gospel, that the gospel will be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, what he means is that the gospel will be preached to all kinds of people. All different types of people scattered throughout the world. That's what he means. And that prophecy has been coming to pass. Jesus died, then he arose and ascended into heaven, and 10 days after that he poured out his Spirit. And a miraculous event happened that day that he poured out his Spirit. Those disciples who formerly were cowards, They now were strengthened to go out and preach that gospel, declare the wonderful works of God. And Peter preached, according to Acts chapter 2. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. He called the people to repent and believe in Jesus alone for salvation. Those disciples spoke that word, remember, too, in many different languages. That day in Jerusalem, there were people from many different countries that had come, and they declared that message of the gospel in those different languages, showing what would happen in the New Testament. The gospel was preached that Pentecost day in Jerusalem, and very soon after that, it spread forth to Samaria. And then after that, it went to the Gentiles, too. We read in the book of Acts of how Paul especially was called to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, and he certainly did. Brought the gospel to Corinth, to Athens, to Rome, and even to Spain. And after the days of Paul, the gospel continued to spread further on into Europe, further into Asia, then into further on into Africa, into South America, and even into North America. And it's all come all the way to here, to Iowa, right here to Hull. And it's really an astounding thing when you start to think about that spread of the gospel. That God caused a man to be sent here in the days of our forefathers, caused a man to be sent here to preach the gospel to our forefathers. And that God has caused a man to be called by us to preach the gospel here from week to week. And he does that. It's a wonderful thing. Praise God that the gospel has been brought. The gospel of the kingdom has been brought to you. And what's the purpose? This preaching of the gospel has a purpose. And the purpose is that it might be a witness to all nations. It might be a witness to all nations. In verse 14, Jesus says that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And that word for there means for the purpose that it would be preached, or it would be a witness to all nations. A witness is an authoritative testimony telling you what happened. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached for a witness. That is, for an authoritative testimony to tell you what Jesus has done, what Jesus the King has done in establishing the kingdom, what he has done in paying for the sins of all of his people so that they might be citizens in the kingdom. That gospel will be preached for a witness. And the fact that the preaching of the gospel is a witness shows that it must be believed. This is a witness, really, of God. He is the one who sends forth the preacher, the herald. And thus, this witness must be believed. If it is not believed, what you are really saying is God is a liar. God commands men to believe the gospel of the kingdom. He has testified that his Son, the Savior, has come, that he is king, that he has established the kingdom, and that all who repent and believe in him are saved by him. God declared that Jesus is king at his baptism, at his resurrection. He declared Jesus as the king. He declares it now through the preaching that we even hear tonight. And that witness must be believed. The preaching is called a witness. It's a declaration. It's a testimony. And the word that Jesus uses here shows that the preaching of the gospel is not an offer. It's not an offer of salvation, as many say it is today. That's the teaching of Arminians. It's an offer. Sadly, that's the teaching of many so-called Calvinists today. An offer. That's not what Jesus calls it. Understand that those who say it's an offer, they believe that in the preaching, God expresses an earnest desire, a longing, that all men be saved. And then, he offers salvation to all men. He expresses that desire, then offers it. Others believe that God, to be fair, is obligated to give every man a chance at salvation. So he gives to every man a free will, and he gives every man a free will by which they might accept or reject the gospel of the kingdom. But again, Christ does not say that the gospel of the kingdom is an offer. He doesn't say it should be preached in all the world as an offer to all nations or as a chance of salvation to all nations, but he says it shall be preached as a witness to all nations. It shall be preached as a declaration to all, as a testimony to all that must be believed. That's what it is, a witness. The gospel is preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, leaving the wicked without excuse, and hardening them, and serving to bring the elect to believe that gospel. The preaching is a witness to the reprobate, hardening them, and leaving them without excuse. The reprobate are those whom God has not chosen to save. The reprobate are those whom God has rejected in eternity. He speaks of that in Romans chapter 9. The preaching of the gospel of the kingdom is a witness to them. What do they hear? Well, they hear the same thing that we hear in the preaching. They hear the truth that Jesus Christ is the King, who has established the kingdom by his death, and that all who repent and believe in him shall be saved by him. They hear that. They hear the call to repent and believe. Understand that the preaching of the gospel will go forth to all nations as a witness, so that the reprobate in all nations hear it. Again, not every reprobate person, head for head, has heard the gospel or will hear it. But the idea of the text is that reprobate people in every nation will hear the preaching and be confronted with the truth, reprobate of all kinds. And this witness that they hear, it serves to harden them. And what it means that they are hardened is that they grow in their unbelief and they grow in their sin when they hear it. They hear the gospel and they think more and more, they think this is foolishness. This truth about someone dying and establishing some spiritual kingdom is foolishness. And I really want nothing to do with this spiritual king who sounds pretty intolerant, who sounds pretty judgmental. And why would I want him to supposedly live within me and make me like that? I want nothing to do with it. One who is hardened, he goes forward from the preaching, rejecting Christ the King, and serving Satan. So really, he goes forward from the preaching, serving himself. That's really all he cares about. Maybe he cares about serving mankind, but none of it's to the glory of God. It's always for the glory of man, not for God. And that's serving Satan. That's doing exactly what Satan wants. It's serving Satan as king. That's hardening. That's what happens to the reprobate when they hear the preaching. And this hardening has happened in the New Testament age, just as Jesus said that it would. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 23, says, "We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." And we see what Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 23. We see that demonstrated in the book of Acts. As the apostles preached the gospel to the Jews, many of them said, "We want nothing to do with that spiritual king, Jesus, and we don't care about him in a spiritual kingdom." Some of them even tried to stone Paul for what he was preaching. They were hardened in their unbelief. And in Athens, when Paul preached to the Gentiles there, we read that he preached about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He preached that Christ really was the king. He had arisen and he was the king. And how did some in Athens respond? Well, we read some Gentiles mocked him there. They mocked that preaching. They were hardened. That's happened in the past and that continues to happen today. The gospel of the kingdom will go forth as the witness to these unbelievers and leave them without excuse. They hear the witness. They hear the truth of who Jesus is as the king, what he's done at the cross. and they reject it, they're left without excuse. And they cannot say either that, they cannot say, well, God hardens through the preaching, so it's really God's fault, and I'm not to blame. They can't say that. God is sovereign. God is also a holy God who certainly is not responsible for man's unbelief or man's sin. Scripture teaches that the unbeliever is responsible for his unbelief and his sin. And know this too, that when the unbeliever hears the preaching and rejects it, it is not as if he has been forced to reject that preaching. He rejects it willingly. He is not being dragged kicking and screaming into a rejection of the preaching. He does it willingly, deliberately. He wants nothing to do with it. He refuses to serve the king. The preaching is a witness then that serves to harden the reprobate and leave them without excuse. But now the positive side. The preaching is also a witness to the elect in all nations, serving to bring them to believe in Jesus Christ and serve Him. The elect are those whom God has chosen before the world began, not based on anything that they would do, all according to His good pleasure. The preaching of the gospel of the kingdom will go to the elect in every nation as a witness. They hear the truth that Jesus Christ established the kingdom by His work at the cross. They hear the truth that all who repent and believe in Him shall be saved by Him. They hear that call to trust in Jesus alone for salvation. And that witness, that is used powerfully by God, sovereignly by Him, to bring the elect actually to believe in Jesus Christ. Amazing. And that's what the Word of God tells us. Many passages do. Romans 1 verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 10 verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The elect hear the preaching of the kingdom of God. And God works through that preaching by His Spirit in the elect to believe. Believe in Jesus for all their salvation. They consciously, those elect consciously enter into the kingdom by faith, enjoying all the blessings of salvation. They go forward seeking to obey the king in thankfulness for that salvation that they know. Wonderful. That's the main purpose of the preaching, is that the witness, that good news might be heard by His people, believed by them, and they might serve Him to His glory, to His praise and thankfulness. And wonderfully, that's been happening throughout the New Testament age. Jesus prophesied it, and it has been happening. Think of Acts chapter 2 again. Peter preaches the gospel of the kingdom there to the thousands of people in the streets of Jerusalem on Pentecost Day. And we read in Acts 2 verse 41 that after Peter called the people to repent and believe in Jesus the King, 3,000 people believed that day. Throughout the book of Acts, we read of the Word going forth and the Lord working through that Word to open the hearts of His people, like Lydia, the seller of purple at the river in Philippi. We read of that Philippian jailer just a little while later, him repenting and believing in Jesus for all of his salvation as one who had heard the Word. Wonderful. And since then, God has used the preaching of Augustine, Luther, Calvin, Kuyper, Huxma, and many others, and still using that preaching of the gospel today to bring His elect to believe. And even us right here, what grace of God. Don't miss the powerful, gracious work of God in that. Think of who we are. We are sinners who have shown hatred for God with our sins. Thousands and thousands of times we deserve to be left and to be under God's wrath now and forever. Yet God, God has worked in us through the preaching, in us of all people. He's worked in us to believe that preaching and to seek to serve Him in thankfulness through that word that He brings. Amazing. And He does that all on the basis of what Jesus Christ did at the cross, the one who took away the sins of us believers there. Praise God. In the last place, how is this preaching of the gospel of the kingdom related to the end? The text answers that question. Teaches that when the gospel goes forth to all nations, so that all the elect hear the preaching, that's when the end comes. When the gospel goes forth to all the world, then the end comes. Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. What is the end? That word end in the text means goal. Goal. God has a goal in all things. God's goal is that His people praise Him. His people glorify Him. His goal is that He be perfectly glorified and praised by His church in the new heavens and new earth. We read about that in Revelation chapter 21. There God speaks of how He will bring His people to live with Him as His friends. In the new heavens and new earth, there will be no more sin. Instead, His people will perfectly magnify Him forever. In body and in soul. That's His goal. So what's verse 14 referring to when it says, "The end shall come"? The end is when the full perfection of the kingdom comes and all of the elect are gathered into the new heavens and new earth in body and soul and perfectly praise Him forever. That's the end. When the gospel goes to all the world is when the end comes. The end cannot come until the last elect is brought to salvation. And the last elect is brought to conscious salvation through the preaching of the gospel. So when the preaching of the gospel goes to all the world and the last elect hears it and is brought to conscious salvation, that's when the end will come. That's when Jesus will return upon the clouds of glory. That is when we will be brought to live with Him in body and soul forever and ever. In the new heavens and new earth. God uses the preaching to bring about the end to His glory. That truth implies a calling. And the calling is that we preach the gospel then, and we support the preaching, we support the missionaries, and we support the seminary. The calling implied is we preach. And that implied calling of this text, it must be brought out because today, and Satan has done this in the past as well, but today Satan is certainly seeking to stop the preaching of the gospel. Satan hates the preaching of the gospel. Satan knows that God uses the preaching to bring the elect to believe in Jesus and to serve God, and he hates that. Satan, he knows that through the preaching, Christ destroys His power in the hearts of His people. Christ destroys the power of Satan in the hearts of His people. He brings them to say no more and more to temptation and yes to God. So Satan despises the preaching. He knows it serves to bring the elect to salvation. And he knows that when all the elect have heard it, that's when the end comes. And Satan despises the end. Remember what the end is. It's when all of the elect are gathered in the new heavens and new earth and perfectly praise God. Satan hates that. He doesn't want that to happen. And he knows that at the end, he is going to be cast into the lake of fire, destroyed completely. Satan despises the end, so he despises the preaching which God uses to bring about the end. So he tries to stop it. Satan really is not interested in how many worship bands a church has. Satan is really not all that interested in the political clout that a certain church might have, or if they have access into the White House. And he doesn't care about the fun activities really all that much that the youth group of a church does. What Satan cares about is the preaching. Satan hates to see the people of the church listening to the preaching, hearing the preaching, believing it. He hates that, and thus he tries to stop it. And he's doing that today. He wants the people to be disinterested in the preaching. He wants them to say it's boring. And he wants the leadership to respond to that attitude of the people by seeking to change and say, we'll lessen the preaching. We'll have less of it, or we won't have it at all. There will be more entertainment. That's what we'll go to keep the people. That's what Satan's trying today. And any church that downplays the preaching or stops altogether is doing exactly what Satan wants. Without the preaching, Satan's kingdom will be at peace. Without the preaching, the elect not yet born cannot be saved. Without the preaching, Christ will not come again, and the devil will not be destroyed. Satan tries to stop the preaching, and so we need to hear the calling, preach. Preach. And remember that Christ uses the preaching to bring the elect to believe in Him and serve Him. Remember that the church, or remember that the end will not come until all hear the word, all the elect. And the end is wonderful. We long for the end. So preach. Preach the gospel. Call a minister. Continue to call a minister to preach to you. Support that preacher. Encourage him. Pray for him. Support the missionaries. Support the seminary that trains the preachers. Preach the word and support the preaching. And preach. Preach knowing that God will cause that preaching to go forth and cause it to serve to the gathering of His people. And He will cause it. He will cause it to serve to the bringing about of the end. Verse 14 says, the gospel will go forth to all nations, and only then will the end come. So nothing. Go forward preaching, understanding that nothing will stop God from causing the preaching to go forth to all nations and saving His own by that preaching. The devil will lead churches to apostatize. There will be churches that go from having a sanctuary where there's preaching to just being an entertainment center, and false prophets will abound in the last days. However, Christ will continue to call, will continue to equip, and will continue to cause preachers to go forward bringing the word of the gospel. So may we preach with that confidence that there will be preaching until He returns, and that He will cause that preaching to serve to bring the elect to believe and serve Him. May we be active in the preaching then, and active in the support of it. To His glory. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father which art in heaven, we draw near to Thee, confessing that Thou art a good God to us. Very gracious, Thou hast brought the preaching of the gospel to us, and Thou dost work through that preaching in us to believe and to serve Thee in thankfulness. And may we go forward, Lord, preaching the gospel. May we support that preaching, and may this serve to the gathering of Thy people. For we long for that end, that time when we will be brought to the new heavens and new earth and perfectly praise Thee forever in all that we do. What a day that will be. And may it come quickly. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.